My friends, we've got a bonus episode for you. In this one, we're going to take a deep dive into Shopify Flow. We're going to talk to a gentleman at Shopify who works on Flow, and then we're going to talk to a real life but tame merchant who uses Flow in some creative ways that I had not thought of or did not know was possible. And my fascination with Shopify Flow is its automation. I love my gadgets. I love my shiny toys. And automation has always scratched that itch. But in doing so, you know, when I'm done with it, when I make it work right, well, heck, I've just saved a whole bunch of time potentially for myself or for a Shopify merchant or for that merchant's team. It's just, it's deeply satisfying when it works right. You know, automation feels like magic, like superpowers to me at times. And Shopify Flow is my best guess. Is probably 1 in 5 Shopify stores have it installed, and you know, everyone's going to use it to different degrees. And so I want more people to explore it and try it, because the chances are it's available to you and free. It's available on the basic Shopify Advanced and Plus plans, and then within that, like, there's a handful of features that are going to be locked to certain plans, but the majority are available across all plans. And the thing keeps, it's been around years now, it keeps getting updates. In Shopify additions, just recently, if I do Control F Flow, it pops up 28 times. So let's talk through it. Let's hear from some folks who are working on it, who are using it, and hopefully can get you inspired to try it or maybe revisit it if you've already got it installed. Because it could do a lot, save you some time, and that's going to save you money. We're going to hear from Senior Product Lead, the man who is responsible for and building Flow for us, Paul Nushka, and Shopify merchant who set up Flow for a bike retailer, Full Cycle, Maddie Pilainen. And well, let's take it away. So, Paul, who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, I'm a product manager for Shopify. I work on the Flow product, which is an automation product.
Tell me what is Flow? I use it all the time. I don't think about it. I love it.
Yeah. So it's a way to customize like how Shopify or your apps work. And it, you do it through automation. So you like have a drag and drop like builder for building effectively what would be code if you were a developer. But you have a drag and drop tool for building like workflows that customize something about what you're doing in your store.
Yeah, but cool. Often, I love it because it's a first party app, and there's no subscription fee. Like, it's part of your Shopify plan if it's in if it's available on the plan. You know, I can never keep straight which is which. What plans is Flow available on? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, basic, advanced, Shopify Plus.
So we use it. But I use it. Probably at least weekly, I mess with it, and it's always in the background helping me out. Give me some example flows so we have an idea of what it's capable of.
You have an order that comes in that's fraudulent. Shopify runs like a risk like analysis, but it doesn't actually like do something. It just gives you the information so you can, when you're fulfilling or whatever, you can make use of that. A lot of people have like automated fulfillment. Or where, like, maybe say a day after it comes in, they'll like auto fulfill it. So if you use Flow in there, you can listen for when that risk is done on that order, check if it's high risk or not. If it's high risk, like 99%+ of the time, you just want to cancel it right there. And then it gives you, if you, for like a medium risk, maybe you want to like check it and like manually or something like that. And then low risk, you might want to just move it to the next kind of part of your process.
I'm glad you used that one as an example, because when I'm setting up Flow for the first time in a store or setting up a, you know, a new store or a migrated store, that is probably like the one universal flow that every store ends up getting is, hey, we're not, you know, by default, we're not going to authorize and accept charges on orders until Flow checks that risk status. And then based on that is either going to notify the merchant, restock the order, or accept the charge and pass it through. It just saves a lot of time and headache.
Yeah, low inventory is another good one. The interesting thing about inventory is like it just depends like what you want to do and what do you even consider low inventory. Like if you're a new merchant or a smaller merchant, maybe you have like one location. Maybe you don't even have variants. Could be a big difference. So like for instance, a low stock could be, I sold out of this like one product thing that I have and I want to do something. Or sorry, a low stock could be I have like two left or something like that. If you have multiple locations, you may only care about the one that's like doing online fulfillment. So you need a different low stock notification because you only care about the inventory of a variant that's at my online fulfillment location. And so the awesome thing about having something like Flow is you can build any of that that you need, no matter what the circumstances are of like how you want to do that. You can like change, for instance, I want product specific, like or product type specific notifications. You can check if the product has a certain tag or a certain meta field.
I think the difficulty with something like Shopify Flow is it is so open-ended that people don't necessarily take the time to try and play with it. And if like you just, because it seems intimidating at face value, but the reality is because you have this visual editor and these pre-built templates, like once you've seen how a few templates are built, it's pretty clear how to make it do what you want. And sure, like anything, it has its limitations, but it's been around several years. And over time, I've seen it, capabilities in terms of like triggers and integrations and all this stuff expanding is much more powerful now than when it first launched. How long has Flow been around?
I don't know what the official count is. It's more than a few years. I think it's like 7 now.
Whoa. All right. Didn't seem like that long.
Yeah. Yeah. So I came to Shopify like about 4 years ago and it was already a product. They were in the process of like, it used to have like a pretty different looking editor that was pretty like rigid in terms of what you could do. And we basically redid the editor, made it more flexible. It was also like limited in terms of how much data you could get. And kind of like one of the principles we're after with Flow is we want to like be able to do all the Shopify use cases you could throw at it. And the one way I'm thinking about that is, can you get all the data that is in Shopify? Right now, it's like 99% of the data you can get. Actions, can you do all the actions that you want to do? And then events, can you run it when you needed to run it?
Yeah, one of the triggers I have found myself using more often than I thought I would is scheduled. Just like, hey, you're going to, and wait as well, putting in, you know, making things chronologically based, like, all right, you're going to do this, then you're going to wait X hours, or on this time, you're going to do this to run some batch processes. And I find the thing very helpful. And so I'm excited to know what's new with it. How are we expanding its capabilities this year?
Yeah, so many new things, like just to go along with what I was just saying, like we're trying to, like the worst experience you could have is, because when you come to Flow, you're trying to do something you couldn't do somewhere else. So the worst thing that happened is you come to Flow, you're like, can't do it, right? Or you dig for an hour, you can't find it. So like the first part of our strategy with Flow is we need to be capable of doing the thing. And in some cases, like there's this like tension between powerful and extremely usable. Like we want it to be usable because that's where like the real value is for every merchant, the most easy to use experience. But when you do that, you have to like remove features and to make it understandable. You have to like boil it down to the essence. So what we're doing right now is making it capable. So you come into Flow, you can do it. So some things we've released recently, like run code is a good example of that. Can't do a condition. You can go into run code, write it in JavaScript, done. Now, obviously, it requires quite a bit of like technical skill to do that. One thing that's coming out of this edition is the ability to send an admin API request. So what that means is any mutation, which is like an action in the Shopify API, like update a customer, will be callable from Flow. So you just go in there, select the mutation, put in the data that's required for that action, and it'll run. No API key required. And we handle like building the URL and paging and things like that for you.
Hmm. What's your favorite use case for Flow?
There's a long tail of things people want to do with Flow. And if it's something that's like maybe like three merchants need this thing, is that worth like building a dedicated action for it and putting it in the UI? And then like everybody else has to wade through that action, right? So because Flow could have like 2,000 actions if we built every single thing as an action. So things like by having access to mutations, you could change the product template. So like low stock, maybe when it goes low stock, I actually want to switch the template to say, hey, now's the time to buy or this thing's going to go away. And that's like a single field in that mutation. We probably wouldn't build that as a dedicated action, but.
And are there, so you're in charge of Flow, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm deep in Flow.
So what are some of the technical challenges you faced while developing Flow and then, overcoming them? Like, it sounds like the big troublesome thing is, feature requests on any software. How do you prioritize? How do you decide, like, what's the one that this is what makes the cut?
Yeah, it's tricky because, like, Flow is a programming language. That's how I think about it. It's a visual programming language. And so, like, a lot of people think in terms of use cases, like that one I just gave you of changing the product template. But like that, you wouldn't build a feature into a programming language for one specific use case. So one of the tricks is how do you think about building a programming language such that it can solve those use cases in an easy to use way, and that the same thing you're using to solve that is actually going to solve a bunch more problems for other use cases.
Clever. You know what's funny is
it's really hard. It's like, I don't know. There's no shortcut to it other than like going deep on it.
I never thought about it as its own programming language, which is really credit to like the ease of use of the app because it's got this visual builder. But when you think about it, you're right. It is like that.
Yeah,
it must be what it's outputting on the back end. A visual representation in a programming language does the computer no good. That's for my benefit.
That's right. We compile it down into machine language, like that it's its own programming language.
Are there ever, I have never run into like memory or resource limitations with Flow. Is it, can I make enough flows that it finally, they're like, all right, you're at your limit, buddy?
There are some bad things you could do to get yourself into that situation. Yes. And one thing we've done actually is just, making sure that we actually cap that so that people don't just like unfairly use up a lot of resources and things like that. A common one that people get tripped up by is they'll trying to select maybe like a product variable or something like that. They'll go in, they'll choose product. And because of the way, I don't know if you're familiar with GraphQL, but it's a tree of data and you can almost infinitely go through the tree. And Flow gives you access to, which is really powerful. Like if you use Zapier to, if you wanted to get like information that's related to a product, maybe like in a collection, you wouldn't be able to do it the way you would do it in Flow. You would have to actually fetch the collection as a separate step and then maybe use the data in another step after that. Flow, you can get all that data in a single step because when you go into Flow's like environment, like picker thing, you choose product, you see collections, you can choose collections. Now the downside of that, which happens sometimes, is people will select collections and then product and then collections because they're a little confused about how like that data is structured. And there so is, basically we're building almost an infinite loop where they're actually trying to fetch all that data and it just won't fetch it. Because there's an API limit for the max like size of a fetch.
Right, they're asking it to loop through like, hey, go look at every SKU in a catalog, and at 100,000,
it's
like,
all right,
we give up
it.
Now.
Yeah, and then the thing that we're, so Metafields is actually one where So when you have a list, like a so product has meta fields on it. When you have a list, yep, Flow has an approach of looping over that list. You know, so look at this item, and this item. So if you're trying to check like a value field or something like that, the problem with meta fields we were running into is people were putting HTML in each of those value fields, and then you could have a lot of meta fields on a single resource. So that was one other one we were hitting. And actually, one of the improvements we're launching at Editions is the ability to access a single meta field, get its type, and use like that typed meta field in Flow. So for instance, like a type might be, it's a number field. So when you get it, Flow knows it's a number. And then when you try to use it in conditions, it knows to like check it against other numbers or, you know, stuff like that.
So we're adding a little bit of like context error correction to it, which is nice, makes life easier, makes it harder to make flows that don't do anything. I will say, when troubleshooting of like my approach to building a flow is, number one, I don't want to build it. I search through your pre-built template library.
Right.
And even if I can't find exactly what I want, often I could find something close and then tweak that. And then should it not work the way I want, which, you know, a complex series of if-then-else logic, you could easily get yourself in trouble where it doesn't do quite what you want. The troubleshooting tools in Flow I find very useful. Being able to go like, hey, because it keeps a log, and then I could filter that log and go, all right, show me, like, only show me times you took an action, only show me times you didn't take an action.
Right.
And then it tells you, like, well, this was the condition that was unmet. That's very helpful. So I love those templates. Do we have new templates coming? I mean, I always want more.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, I have someone who's like exclusively looking at templates and making the template system better. So 100%. One thing that we're actually doing is, you can imagine there's like probably hundreds of thousands of use cases for Flow. You can't, like, it's just like not feasible for a team to build all of those or whatever. But what is feasible is giving that power to developers. Like if you have an app that does subscriptions, and you want to show people how to use your app in subscriptions with Shopify, or to get notifications you want related to subscriptions or something like that, as part of this like Editions, you can now like actually declare that template, and it'll show up in Flow's template library. Yeah, so you could have a developer maybe contributes 10 templates or something like that. Each developer has that capability now. So we're hoping that will really enrich like the template library.
This episode is sponsored in part by Cleverific. Imagine freeing up hours of support time every week because your customers can manage their own order adjustments. That's what Cleverific makes possible. Cleverific gives customers the flexibility to add items, change shipping details, or even cancel their orders, all through a straightforward customer portal. And what it gives you is the peace of mind knowing your order process is smoother, your team is more efficient, and your customers are happier. Peter Manning New York, a prominent retailer, cut their order support queries by a staggering 99% after integrating Cleverific. And they're not alone. Remember, Cleverific not only reduces the number of support tickets, but also speeds up order processing and minimizes errors. Your customers handle their own simple changes, freeing up your team to focus on what really matters, growing your business. Sign up today at cleverific.com/unofficial and enjoy 50% off their pro plan when you use code unofficial50. It's just $49 a month for full access to every feature. Take action now with Cleverific to slash your customer support tickets, speed up order processing, and reduce returns. That's cleverific.com/unofficial. This also sounds like, you know, for app developers, this is an opportunity because Shopify Flow is in, what, hundreds of thousands of stores?
Yeah. Yes.
There's a lot of eyeballs.
Effectively, every merchant is using Flow right now because Flow runs the abandoned checkout automation. So
I did notice everybody. I did notice that email builder, the one inside Shopify, did look suspiciously familiar to Flow.
Yes, yeah, so everything in marketing automations, the workflows are built on top of Flow, and so there's a a lot of merchants that use marketing automation. Marketing automation, it's obviously a great use case for automation because and especially templates, right? Because there's a set of known like best practices for marketing, and a lot of people don't really know how to do marketing, and so it's like a perfect fit for templates. I'm really excited about marketing automation in general. Actually, one of the big things that's coming out is segmentation triggers.
Mm.
For instance, the one people always use is like VIP, like as like a segment. With the segment trigger, when they become like a VIP, like enter that segment, it'll fire an event, and you can use that in Flow. So if you want to do something when they become a VIP, then you can now do that in Flow. And it basically means you don't even need conditions in a lot of cases, because the segment is a condition. It has like all these variables that you can put it in and stuff. So I'm really excited about that.
So we've got the Flow we know and love just keeps getting more powerful and more expansive in its templates capabilities. Yeah. It really, like, having more and more templates just means ease of use. But then on the developer side of things, I have this fabulous opportunity to get impressions, to get eyeballs from people who have a problem to solve, right? If I'm in Flow looking for a template, I'm trying to fix something.
Yeah. When we show, like, even if they don't have your app, we allow them to see your templates, and we actually allow them to see tasks that you build as well. So it is like another discovery surface. Like one example is like Flow doesn't have a transactional email action right now. We have, I think, 4 transactional emails that you can get through an app partner. So if you search for email, you can discover those and use them.
That's excellent. And so yes, we've got, basically. All right, so that Flow's evolving here. It's innovating. Where do you see the future of Flow going? But I think more so the future of automation on Shopify.
Well, like for Flow, our future is obviously going to continue the work that we've already like committed to with like these capabilities. And we, like, for instance, run code, we want to allow you to actually write HTTP requests in there. And so we're going to finish that. Once we get this like set of capabilities, I would feel like you can come to Flow and just do whatever job you need to do, that you're going to see a real big pivot to better user experience. The testing experience is one that's like really on my mind. We made some improvements to make that like not as painful. We do have some ideas on how to make that like way better. So UX is definitely central to that. In terms of like automation in Shopify, like I just think it's only going to get better and better. One of the things that I'm really excited for is when there's like a critical mass of developers who are building for Flow. When they're like, let's say 25% coverage or something like that of all the apps. As an app developer, you can then build a task and immediately be able to be connected to every other app that's built something. It's really powerful when that happens. I haven't even seen this happen actually in another company, and we're close. So I'm very excited for that future.
So building for that and getting into that, really, like, you know, they often say platforms are more valuable than apps. This lets every app become part of that platform by adding in that extensibility. But like, maybe I don't have an API in my app, but functionally I have something very similar if I'm attached to Flow, because now that my app could talk to other apps in an open-ended way.
Well, like if someone comes to you, like a merchant comes to you and you're a developer and they want a Slack integration or something like that, maybe there's like four of them that want that. It doesn't mean it's not valuable, but like, do you want to go build a direct integration to Slack and maintain that? Flow has that. By getting that, you get access to that Slack action and everything else that Flow has to offer. I think there's a pretty big value there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, the sky's the limit as these tools expand. And that's, I love my tools.
Yeah.
Right? I like productivity. And so just the I'm familiar with the potential that we have with an automation tool like Flow, and based on what you're telling me. And so, but you know, let's say I'm a Shopify merchant. I haven't played with it yet. I'm new to automation. I want to use Flow. Obviously, it's like step one, install it in my store. Then what? What would your advice be to someone who's like looking at Flow for the first time?
I think have something in mind you want to do is probably the first thing. But if you don't, take a look at the templates. For sure, there's something in there that will be useful to you in your store. Just even browsing them or choose a couple categories and look at them, you'll find something. And then
I always start with the risk ones. Like you can add, there's one that will, it'll like write into an order. It'll mark the customer record when they have a chargeback, either like a tag or a meta field. I forgot how it writes it in there. And of course you could modify it, but it's like, okay, that's useful to have that historical data automatically stored in a programmatic way. Earlier we talked about the risk mitigation stuff. That
I think it's a schedule one spot. You're using there. You're getting all the orders that had chargebacks, and then you can tag the customer or whatever.
It's helpful just to identify someone who's like, okay, could this person be a return abuser? And if it's like spread over a long enough time, you may not have necessarily noticed. But then, you know, having Shopify Flow, being able to do that work, well, now I could segment it. I could see it. Now I could, you know, build KPIs off of that. There's just so much that kind of spirals out of having access to something like Flow.
Yeah, and I think like one thing to keep in mind if you're a merchant is you don't have to actually have the automation do something right away. If you're just trying to understand how it works, there's actions like there's a log output action that we added this year. It's amazing. I use it pretty much for building anything as a start, because you just put it in there. You can see what the data looks like. You can see if that action gets called, if you're not sure, like, you know, if your condition is written the right way or something like that. So you don't have to start with like actually having the action take effect and potentially messing up something in your store. So it's a good like low risk way to get started.
You know, that's smart. I hadn't tried it that way yet. Right. Building a draft version of a template to test a proof of concept. That's clever. Yeah. All right. I learned something. Anything else you'd like to share about Flow?
I think that like covers, you know, everything we're releasing. I'm just like, I just want, if you're a merchant, I guess, try it out. Like, cause it really can add a lot of value to your store. And, you know, if once you learn it, like you're going to find a lot of uses for it, things that will save you time, things that you thought you couldn't do, that will help your business. Like it can make that possible. For partners, I want this similarly. If you haven't thought about Flow, check out our developer documentation. Think about tasks, because there's like definitely a need for developers to build tasks. There's so many use cases out there that people want.
Absolutely. I don't know. It's just, it's a fun tool. I just like my productivity automation tools. And like that visual editor, honestly, even if you don't know programming, it kind of teaches you the concept visually. Like, all right, you know, you're going step by step, if then else, you know, conditions and actions and triggers. I mean, really, that's intro to computer science right there. If you could master Shopify Flow. So kind of fun. Well, Paul, I'm so glad to have been able to talk to you about what over the years has become, you know, one of my favorite tools to play with.
It's my favorite tool to work on.
Yeah, lucky job to have. All right. So next up would be play with Flow, install Flow, take a look at the templates. If I'm a merchant, if I'm a developer, consider building out, what do we call the, if an app wants to add that Flow integration, what do we call that? How would I look up the documentation for that?
They're all app extensions. So if you go into apps, there's a Flow section in the dev docs. It's kind of near the top of navigation at the current moment. And there's task extensions for like triggers and actions. And then there's a template app extension if you want to add templates.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, because we had started looking at it ourselves for some of our own apps and work. And so I gotta dive back into it now.
Nice.
Paul, thank you so much.
Yep, Thank you.
Did you know that most Shopify stores are leaving 10 to 20% of their revenue on the table with every single purchase? Each year, Shopify merchants make New Year's resolutions to increase profits, but they overlook one crucial aspect: maximizing every order with upsells. That's like breaking your promise on day one. But you could turn that resolution into reality with Zipify One-Click Upsell. One-Click Upsell is the secret weapon Shopify merchants are using to unlock extra revenue on every single sale. I've seen this app transform stores, doubling their revenue. In fact, One-Click Upsell has already helped merchants like you make $500 million in extra upsell revenue for your stores. Zipify OCU is the original Shopify upsell app, and it's been boosting AOV, that's average order value, since 2016, thanks to its seamless integration and intuitive upsell funnels. With the most upsell placements, AI-driven copy suggestions, and mobile-friendly designs, it's no surprise that the average OCU user increases revenue 10 to 15% as soon as they set up the app. The new year brings new opportunities, my friend. So start your 2024 strong with the app that makes your revenue goals a reality. Zipify One-Click Upsell. Go to zipify.com/Kurt and start your 30-day free trial today. That's zipify.com/KURT to try Zipify One-Click Upsell for free. Don't just make resolutions, make profits. Add Zipify One-Click Upsell today and kick off the new year with a lot more sales. Shopify introduced us because you are a heavy Shopify Flow user, right?
I guess so, yeah. I don't know what heavy constitutes, but yeah, we have a bunch, or we have maybe 10 that we use.
And so tell me about, give me the background, you know, what's your store? Who are you? What do you sell?
So we're a bike store in Ottawa. We have two physical locations, and then we sell a lot online. So we sell bikes, we sell bike parts, accessories. We've got about 14,000 items on our Shopify, of which about 7,000 are in stock at any given time, spread across four locations.
Okay. Because I love Shopify Flow. It's been around forever. But there's a lot of Shopify merchants that just like, they have no idea this thing is available to them.
That's exactly it. We didn't even know it existed until a month ago, 2 months ago.
So what was the, how did you stumble on Shopify Flow?
A customer of ours mentioned it to me.
Interesting.
He thought it could interact with Google Sheets. And that kind of piqued my interest.
So and does it? Are you able to link Shopify Flow and Google Sheets? Because I've never attempted that.
So we programmed it to sort of generate a picking list for our in-store staff. So when a customer places an order, if the item is in stock there, it'll populate a Google Sheet with a picking list for the staff member.
Whoa.
So it used to be done manually by us.
And Flow does this out of the box? Like, did it have a template or did you build the template?
It's got a basic template just to add a row, but we had to build out sort of the logic behind, you know, is product one in stock at this store? If so, how many are in stock? Is it enough to fulfill the order? If it's not, how many do they have? So we to run a loop on each item in the order. So yeah, we had to build it out, I guess, on our own.
Okay. But it works? You're happy with it?
Oh, yeah. No, it works. It works every time.
What else are you using Flow to do? Give me the highlight reel.
One thing that we wanted that isn't supported in Shopify is like automatically printing out picking slips.
Oh, like send it direct to a printer?
Exactly. Yeah, the seconding's in. But we were able to use Shopify Flow to take an order that comes in, if it's for shipping, send an email to an email address we set up on a computer where the email is just set to print automatically.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
We were able to print our orders automatically using Shopify Flow.
How'd you get the computer to print automatically?
We use Mozilla Thunderbird.
Oh, old Thunderbird. All right. It's been a long time.
Yeah, and I think there's an app in Thunderbird we had to download, actually, that runs an automatic rule on every incoming email to print it.
I thought I was good with Flow, and already, like, you're blowing my mind, because didn't even occur to me that I could plug it into Google Sheets. So it sounds like it's automating repetitive tasks. Like, there's several steps in your fulfillment flow that have just, are now, a computer does it for you. So you show up, and as orders come in and there's like, hey, here's the sheet, go.
Yeah, and these are all things we used to, like, even just printing the orders, you know, it doesn't take forever, but that was, whereas now that we just arrive in the morning and it's all ready to go for us. Well, another Google Sheet use we have is that we sell bicycles, which we have to build up for each customer. So when the customer buys a bicycle online, it automatically sort of gets fed to a Google Sheet to the person building it with all the information.
That's super cool. Because years ago, many years ago, I used to work in a bike shop. And so, and we did like custom recumbent bikes and stuff. And yeah, it was just like, all right, you know, there'd be like a handwritten piece of paper, you know, or, you know, it would be like a hand filled out sheet.
We still call that Google Sheet our build hook because it was a hook like 11 years ago that we would push receipts onto. Yeah, and scribble in Sharpie. But
yes. Okay. That was my experience many years ago.
Yeah.
And so you've been able to use Flow in really clever ways to automate these repetitive tasks, and you're getting time savings out of it. Any improvement for like that wonderful for you. And obviously the customer potentially gets the order sooner. Any improvements in customer experience satisfaction as a result of Flow?
I would say it definitely comes from the fact that Flow is never wrong. So let's say that we process an order incorrectly on our end. Well, because the Flow has already generated the picking, even if we didn't put it sort of in the back end properly, that's going to get flagged because it's on the picking list. So even if we do things wrong, it helps us spot errors, which definitely helps the customer experience because it means that we're, you know, instead of batting 98, we're now batting 99.5 or so.
Yeah, well, and who wants to, and then there's the extra cost of like the order comes back, you got to ship the new one, the customer's annoyed, maybe they don't buy with you again. Like there are bigger costs here to messing that up. So you've got, you know, like 10 automation flows running. How do you approach creating and testing new workflows? Or like in my head, it's generally like, hey, there's a problem. I don't have an immediate solution for feature wise. So then I go like, all right, well, can I make Flow do this? Or, hey, I've got an annoyance. Can I make Flow automate this? What's your approach?
I mean, the approach first was just anything that we're manually doing, like, is there a way to get this done, you know, without us having to do anything? We've kind of, I think, hit all of those now. You know, the ones that we want to be able to automate now, I think we're possibly getting to the limits of Flow where, you know, we'd love to have triggers that are, you know, once that item's sold, I'd love it to be able to change inventory records, maybe at other locations for various reasons, but it doesn't support changing product data right now, I believe, or meta fields. So yeah, there's a few things that we'd like to see coming as features in it, but till then we're just restricted mostly to Google Sheets. That's really what it's doing for us now.
So any tips or best practices for other merchants who are thinking about getting deep into automation with Flow?
I think a key thing was using the, I think this might be a new feature, but you can look through past flows and see why they didn't work. And that's, I think, been the most important thing for us. Is if anything ever doesn't run for any reason, just making sure we get to the bottom of it right away, because it's a bit of a black hole if an automation doesn't run. There's not like a trigger to tell you that it's not working necessarily. So it's really important that we know if there is a reason for something not to run properly, we need to know why and fix it right away, because it can really create some crazy problems if you're not set up properly.
And for troubleshooting Flow, what I find is so helpful is they let you filter by like, all right, action ran, you know, action succeeded, action failed, or action succeeded with no action. And it kind of gives you some of the conditions that went into it. But you're right.
Yeah, I guess it shows you through the flow where it went and then where it, you know, turned around or where it ended. So you can see, okay, this exact trigger didn't occur for my specific event. And you can use that to figure out where it went wrong.
Yeah, I found that really helpful. But what you're saying is like, hey, it is not necessarily going to be proactive in communicating that there's some condition that's creating errors where flows aren't running. So you got to at least like, yeah, if you automated everything, you still have this one thing you got to make sure doesn't fail.
Sure. Yeah.
Which
the other thing that Flow we've noticed, like, you know, I can't make a flow that only runs on shipping orders natively. So there we have to get creative and like, yeah, I don't, it's something we tag each order incoming with its shipping method. And then we use the tags to operate the flow once we're ready to run the flow.
Okay.
So there's some things that feel like they should be native and just easy, but there's a couple extra steps involved. I'm sure there's a reason for Shopify's end, but it makes it a little tougher to use.
Well, you know, Flow's been around 8 years, and like the version of Flow 8 years ago would be significantly more limited than what we get today. And they're still evolving it, but Yeah, I think the best way is to give them that feedback. Say like, hey, here's a thing we're trying to do. We'd love to be able to do this. We think this is the best way, but we think, you know, currently available, but we think it would be way easier if it could work like this. Because they don't necessarily know. You're one product manager working on one app or feature, but and there's thousands of people potentially using it every day. But it's so weird because like they don't get a chance to see them, and those people just have like, oh, this would be, you know, you told me like, hey, this would be easier if I could do it like this. What are the chances, you know, the guy in charge ever hears it? Well, all right. And what's funny about Flow, like we're talking about automation, AI has not even come into the picture yet. So knowing that, how do you see the role of automation evolving? Do you think, or do you have like any future plans for stuff you want to change or do?
I could see it making some of the creations a little easier. Like we're having to sort of program in all these weird things to see if it's a shipping order, but I would hope that in the next couple of years, we'd be able just to say like, listen, if it's a shipping order, do this. And that it would just kind of know, because it does know. It's just, I feel like it doesn't know. And right now it doesn't know in the sense that I know it's a shipping order. Like it can only tell it's shipping because some sort of deep things in the order that Shopify is looking at. I don't know. I would hope that it could help with just things that seem simple to a person that the computer thinks are complicated.
Do you have any programming experience?
I don't, no.
I think that's the magic here. So essentially what Shopify Flow is doing, like it's got this big visual editor and use that. That's just generating a piece of code that runs in the background that you never see. And so if you are using Shopify Flow, you're doing development, you're programming, you just don't know it. And like when that occurred to me, it just blew my mind. That's part of the limitation is I think really it's like, all right, well, how are we going to code it to translate from the visual editor to code in the background, you know, and make it conditional and consistently work?
And I am amazed how often it does.
It's so simple. It's deceiving, you know, in what it's really doing on the back end. So sometimes I have to remind myself of that when I'm like, why can't I get this to work right? Like, well, it's probably it'd be thinking the same thing about you, buddy. All right. So at fullcycle.ca is your shop. Any other apps, features, clever things you're proud of you want to highlight for us?
Not so much. I mean, we have a second website where we ship small bike parts globally. So part of Flow is being able to, putting into Google Sheets one central shipment doc, I can combine all our shipping from both of those sites into one central place, which is really helpful.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a second site called fullsuspension.bike. And it's strictly small parts set up for international shipping. So the trouble with international for us is like a helmet could cost us $200 to ship to Japan. Oof. But a little like specialized bicycle, like linkage bolt or nut, for example, would only cost 15 to 20. And those small things, the carrier calculated shipping actually works well for. So yeah, Flow combines all of those into one by having it go onto one central Google Sheet.
So you got separate stores, but then all the order fulfillment just lives in one place. And so you don't have to think about it as two separate things. Smart.
Yep.
If you could wave a magic wand, you change anything about Shopify, what is it?
I haven't kept a list going, but I feel like there's the odd thing that seems like it should be native to Shopify that, you know, as one example, like variant, eliminating the number of filters by variant. I think the limit's 100 or 20. No, the limit's 25. There's some weird small things that just seem like they wouldn't take much to make it different. So we have to use an app for it. That's probably the biggest gripe we have generally.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there's usually a way out. You know, it's like, well, here's the workaround. Here's the app. Here's the solution. But yeah, there's a lot of little nuances when you start getting deep into it. But you know, overall things working well, you're happy. Were you on, is this a new thing or did you move from a different platform?
So we were on there's a bicycle specific platform called Smart Etailing.
Oh, I'm familiar.
You're familiar?
I'm familiar with Smart Etailing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's quite helpful getting started because they have built in all the product descriptions and images, and they make it really easy to connect your POS system. But it was very limited in functionality, and you know, we couldn't choose our payment provider. There was no real shipping calculation that we could do. There was, you know, just a ton of limitations that eventually we weren't able to square anymore. So
Yeah. So, I mean, like, easy way to get go from nothing to up to speed, but then, you know, you start slamming these limitations, and then you go, oh, all right, well, time to move to Shopify, is what I suspect happened.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could have gone anywhere, but I think the Shopify is quite easy to use and reliable. Like, we uptime was another consideration. Like, our old website went down frequently, I thought.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. Maddie, thank you. If we want to order some bike parts, where are we going?
www.fullcycle.ca.
Fullcycle.ca, got it. All right, I will check it out because I got two bikes and one is in disrepair.
Please do.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.